They didn't have it made. They're getting the promised land. Well, 40 years it took them to find that. They complained. Jonah struggled. Job struggled. The disciples, oh, they had it made. They walked with Jesus. No, come to our Wednesday night Bible study. We're going through the book of Acts. We just read where they were doing things in the name of Jesus Christ. And they wanted to put them away. So they had struggles. But the Bible tells us that we are overcomers. Amen? We are overcomers. That means we can get through it. That means we will get through it, church. And sometimes it's with the help and support of the church body when we open ourselves up. But it takes work. It takes effort. It takes time. And it takes patience. God, please, I've been working on this for 2 days now. Yeah, but you made that mess over 40 years of life. It's going to take time. He says, I will show you a way. And I will show you a way out. And I will help you overcome that. Young men that went through the furnace, he said, I'm going to show you a way out. Oh, good. They won't throw us in there? No, they're going to throw you in there, but I'm going to show you the way out. Follow me right through it. It's different for each one of us, church. Now ask yourself this. Who is in control of my life? Let's read Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 1. After this, there was a feast of Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind people, lame people, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Can you imagine that sight? Verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now I'm just thinking, did somebody not put up a thing that says first come, first served? But there was a multitude. And you got to think, if you're one of those multitude with an affliction, you'd probably say, forget the sign. I've had this all my life. I'm going first. Get out of my way. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years, church. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, listen carefully. Do you want to be made well? Church, Jesus could have healed him. But he asked a question. Do you want to be made well? It's similar to what we've been reading in Acts chapter 3. There was a lame man since birth laying there. And it told us he had been there 40 years, or 44 years old. That's a long time to carry an affliction in your body. And they thought, am I a burden to others? Because I can't walk, somebody's got to come and place me here every day. So Jesus asked, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, says, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, and he took up his bed and he walked. Now, when the disciples in Acts chapter 3 were going into the temple, it said John and Peter were walking in there, and fixing his eyes on the lame man, said, "Look at us." And the lame man was expecting to receive something. And they responded and said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. But listen carefully. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Very similar situation. I can't walk. And the disciples came in. "Now, Jesus, do you want to be healed?" And the guy said, "I don't have anyone to put me in the water. So how can I be healed?" And I think there's probably times we ask ourselves the same thing. I didn't go up to church. I didn't go up to the altar call. I didn't go this. I didn't take it to the prayer group. I didn't take it to my Bible study group. I didn't. God, there's no one to heal me. I can't have access to them. I don't want to call them. Verse 9, immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And I thought, okay, I love this. The man's healed. But it says, and that day was a Sabbath. You know, those religious people always have a problem with something happening good on the Sabbath. The Jews, therefore, said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." And he answered them. He said, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" And then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn into the crowd. It was at that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. I love that. It was Jesus who made me well. I didn't know at first. You know, when we first start out and Jesus asks him, "Do you want to be made well?" He did. But what did he start out with? Excuses. "Yeah, there's no one to put me in the pool. I can't do that." "Do you want to be made well today, church?" "Yeah, but I don't want to go up there in front of people." "Yeah, but there's a whole line of people up there. So I'd like to get to lunch. I don't want to wait in line." You know, you could pray. It could take forever. The excuses begin to flow for our healing. Are you listening? Our excuses begin to flow for our own healing. But verse 8 says Jesus is in control. Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." "Get up. Get up," he said. Eric said last week, "Stand tall." And then verse 9 follows up with immediate action. And immediately the man was made well, and he took up his bed and he walked. He didn't flounder around and go, "Yeah, I bet that didn't work. I'm just going to stay here because there's no way I can be healed. I've been hanging out here for 30 some years." There was immediate action. At once, this took place. Verse 14, Jesus sees him. "See, you have been made well." He reminds him of what had happened. But he reminded him for the future, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. So Jesus didn't say, you're good forever. We have to remember that when Jesus does healing in our lives, he may be reminding us, sin no more, church. Because I don't want a worse thing to come upon you than what you're encountering right now. Let's see, there was a certain man laid at the gate, great multitude, lame, 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 angel of the Lord. A certain man was there with an infirmity for 38 years. Sin no more, or something worse can come upon you than your 38-year-long infirmity. And then, of course, immediately the religious leaders were mad at Jesus. Verse 15, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him well. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them and he said, my Father has been working until now and I have been working. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal to God. Now, Jesus goes on to give them a response. But I want to look at the things that we're doing in our life. Are we dealing with something in our own life? Probably most of us can say yes to something. It could be a small problem. It could be a really big problem. And it could be a multitude of problems all coming in at once. And the question today is, do you want to be made well? Do you want it? We have to stop trying to control our life and everything is happening in it. And stop trying to lead our own life and let Christ lead our life. Sounds really good, Adam, till tomorrow morning. I've got to get out of bed. I've got to get my family out of bed. I have to get them dressed, ready for school, ready for daycare, ready for work, ready for whatever. Where's Jesus then, Adam? Well, he's right there with you. Think about Jesus. His parents were going along. Hey, where's our son Jesus? They had to go back and get him. But he said, I'm about my Father's business. He says, while you're going through those daily frustrations of life, I'm still right here with you. You think you're the first family that's had to raise children and try and get them out of bed? Wake up, it's time for school. Five more minutes, please. I'm tired. The school bus is coming. I feel sick today. You think you're the first one that's dealt with that? I dare say it's probably happening back then. But I know it's been happening since before you came along. So stop trying to lead your own life and fix it and say, I can do this. I am in 100% control. Wrong. If you are a Christ follower, you should not be 100% in control of your life. Other than to give it to God. Have you ever set up this system? You've got rules and regulations and boxes to check, and it becomes so tedious and time-consuming that all of a sudden when it doesn't happen, you're thinking, if these things go right, then I'll have peace and joy, and the world will be in balance. Only to find out those rules and regulations bring sorrow and sacrifice and frustration. Oh, this isn't working. No, they didn't do that. One more box to check. Relax a little bit. Or relax a lot. If we're feeling self-sufficient and self-focused, then we start despising life. We start thinking, I'm stuck here. You're stuck because you're trying to control it and you don't have all the answers. You become discontent. You become anxious. You become worrisome. You become fearful. You become hard to get along with. I read this and I wrote it down. It says, do not lose the joy of your sanctification. Listen up. Do not lose the joy of your sanctification by forgetting the joy of your salvation. We have to remember the joy of our salvation. And then that sanctification, that thing that sets us apart from everybody else. Aiden, I saw you singing today. I saw you look at your grandfather. And you watched him singing, and then you looked back up there and you sang. And then you walked over and you got a flag. And it was so beautiful to watch you do that. And I thought the joy of singing praise and worship and seeing that in the family and hearing that and watching others that do the flags and saying, I want to go do the flags. And that brought joy to my worship back here. Almost to the point of messing up while I was trying to play. But it brought joy to my worship today by what you did. And I want to tell you, church, that sometimes you think nobody's looking. Nobody pays attention to me and what I'm doing in service. But I saw that look you gave your grandfather as you were singing. You just looked up at him singing. You went back to singing. And you had a smile on your face when you did it. Your being here may be for the benefit of somebody else. I do not feel like being in church today. I'm tired. I didn't get much sleep last night. I was up late. And I was up early. And I thought, I just want to sleep. Eric, I'm just kidding. But I thought, I'm tired. But I thought, what I'm doing brings me great joy. And I was up. I was talking to Austin. And I laid in bed in the wee hours of the morning with the biggest smile on my face. And he was happy. And what he was doing over there. And just the little event that he had today. Event, I don't mean he had a problem. I mean he had this event that he was trying to compete in. And he did it. Cindy rustled around a little bit. And I don't know if she was awake or not. But I said, he did it. He made it. I didn't care. I want her to know. I was happy. And I thought, those things can bring us joy, even when we're tired. Coming to church, even when we're tired. I stay busy every day of the week. Man, that's my day to sleep in. I get it. But that church family and that community is important. And it's important to healing. listen carefully, for yourself or for others. Now, I don't feel like I needed healing this morning, but what I saw her do, that brought me great joy. And if I came in here feeling down or in a bad mood, that would have lifted me right up out of that. And I get sometimes it's hard to come in here and put on that happy face because we have problems. But I'm asking today, church, do you have the desire to get well? And that's a serious question that I'm asking you. I want everyone just to close their eyes. I want you to close your eyes. We're going to be at the end of service here. But I'm going to ask you just to sit in His presence for a moment. Just to sit and be in His presence. And again, I told you earlier, it's uncomfortable. And it's hard. But we're going to sit in His presence for a minute. And then I'm going to ask you to come forward if you truly have a desire to get well. And there's going to be several of us up here ready to pray for you today. You don't have to tell us what the problem is. You can, so we can pray specifically, but you do not have to. If you're sitting in your seat saying, I'm not about to tell anybody about this, it's okay. Just allow us to pray over you. Come up here if you want to stand in for somebody you know that is not here at church, that may not even go to this church. Maybe for your children, maybe for your parents. So we're just going to sit in His presence for just a minute. Help us today just to sit or stand in Your presence. Just to get comfortable coming before You. And presenting yourself to God. Heavenly Father, I pray today that if there is anyone here today that has a desire to be made well, Lord, that they come and receive the blessing of healing. God, that they lay this at Your feet to carry it no more. Heavenly Father, free us. Free us from sin. Free us from hurt, from pain, from wounds that we have carried, some for years. Stand to your feet. And again, I'm going to ask you, do you desire to be made well? If so, pick up your mat and walk forward. And do it right now. Come forward. And then sing with us. anyone still sitting on your mat at the gate saying, there is no one to carry me to the pool, and others rush in front of me? Church, we can pray for you where you sit as well. As a matter of fact, I'm going to pray for you where you are. Heavenly Father, I ask you to be with those people that may still be on their mat for whatever reason. Lord, if it's an excuse, or if it's just lack of boldness, God, I pray today that they feel your presence. God, I pray today that healing is taking place for those that have come forward. Burdens are released. Addictions are released. Pain and suffering is released and minimized. God, I pray today that we are different today. We are different this moment than we were an hour ago. And that we have a desire an hour from now to be even closer to your likeness. Help us as we go out this week, Lord. Guide us and direct us to those we know and don't know, the way we treat one another, the way we talk to one another. God, help us to be your ambassador. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed and amazing week. God bless you.